Hello, my name is Peter Cinnamon and you're listening to Kicking Match. This is a podcast all about the Irish League, and on this rather special bonus edition of the podcast, Niffl have recently revealed their big plans for the next 5 years of the league, and a bit like you, I had a lot of questions about it. And in my quest to find out more, I got in touch and I asked if CEO Ger Lawler was available to talk about it. And you know what? He was. So I packed up my gear, brought it straight into Niffl HQ at Windsor Park, right into Jared's office. In fact, where I was able to sit down with him one-on-one so I could get a better insight into what this strategy document is hoping to achieve and peel back the veil ever so slightly into how they hope to get some of these aims across the line. He was super open with me. I thought he was willing to take on a fair amount of tough questions, it must be said, and hopefully from this chat you will get a better idea into what the ambition is of the Irish League, at least for the next half decade. So let's get down to it. After all my wires were connected up and my tape was rolling, I started my chat by asking Jared, when it came to publishing this strategy guide, why now?
The Niffl board and I, along with the senior staff, sat down and we said, okay, we know where we are at the moment and we now know where we want to go, or we would like to go in the future. How are we going to get there? And as much as it's a lovely glossy brochure, it looks fantastic, but it can never be allowed to gather dust on a shelf. And even at the start of the brochure, before we look, what's really important in it is the objectives and the actions of what we try to do. But for me, the basics, Peter, for us as an organisation, is that we have a mission. So when I ask the question now, what is Niffl? Niffl is the organisation that leads, promotes and delivers professional football in Northern Ireland. That's what we do.
This is like your manifesto. 2 years in, you're saying, this is what I'm going to do. And what you've put here is some key tentpole aims. Were you nervous saying, this is what we're going to do? Because you're going to be held to account to these now.
Very. It's so important in the vision for me. Like, we are the second oldest football league in the world. We have an amazing heritage through the old Irish League, which rebranded to Niffl. I think Irish League football, throughout the troubles in the history of Northern Ireland, played a key role of keeping society together. So the heritage is so important, but the future is where we want to be. The league is at the crest of a wave. I think it's never been more marketed attendances in the modern game. I'd love to get them where they were in the early 40s, 50s and 60s. But, you know, they're on the increase. We've good television exposure. I could probably sit here for the next 5 years, stay where we are, take my salary and see where I go in 5 years' time. Or I could say, well, I'm not happy. And look, while I'm the front man of this, because I'm the chief executive, there's a massive team behind me and a team that it's probably taken me 2 years to put together also. We have a fantastic board. So this document is the Niffl board document. It's not the Ger Lawler document. I'm the man who sent out to front it. And I fully endorse it. Don't get me wrong, because I have a massive say. But this is Niffl's document to say, we're not happy with where we are. We think there's another level to go. We don't want to just say, well, we've had an increase of attendances in the last 5 years of 40%. What more can we do? How can we be bigger? How can we be bolder? How can we do the lots of ambitious dreams that we all have? Because I believe in this product. My football journey was a 17, 18-year-old on supporters buses going up and down the country to football matches. And that's a heritage that I think we've come away from, that I want to get back to, because that's my beginning. I know what it's like to run supporters clubs and sell £1 ballot. That's the heartbeat of what the Irish League is, and that's the heartbeat of Niffl. So we want to get back, right back to basics, to grow. So rather than just saying, yeah, okay, we're here, we've arrived, we haven't arrived, because Tiernan Lynch had a great, and I've said this, had a great statement I seen in the press last week. You stand still, people bypass you. And if we stand still and rest on our laurels, people are going to bypass us, be it other sports, other sporting activities, other interests for people. So what it is, Peter, is saying, here's where we want to be in 5 years. This is a perfect, this is at this moment in time, and this is how we believe we're going to get there. Have I any doubt in my head? It'll need tweaked in the next few years. It'll need changed. Some of the timelines are variable. Some of them are maybe outside our control. So we've put a broad range. We do have an internal document that does have timelines on it that we will try to deliver for this, for the clubs. And people, if there's one thing I always want to get across is NIFL is a league for clubs, run by clubs. The members of this organisation all have equal votes. There's nobody's any greater than anybody else. But we now have to go on a journey to say some of our clubs want to go to new and greater heights. Some of them are maybe not ready to go there. So where do we find for them? What journey do they come on? So we have to soul search in what's the right thing for all those 49 clubs that we have within the NIFL family at this moment in time. And this is an outline plan of how we're going to try and do it.
That's your task, isn't it? It's balancing these two factions. Perhaps they aren't that strong. It's the people who really, you talk about heritage there, value the heritage and the way the league has been run and what you are proposing, the discussion that you want to have here of where you go in the future. Before we get on to that, from someone that's in your position, you talk about how football is in the strongest position it's been in 10 years. Reflecting on the past 10 years, what do you think are the key things that got us here? What have been the success stories? What can we learn from where we were 10, 5 years ago to where we are now?
And I believe that's very simple for me to answer in a way, Peter. So the people that got us to where we are today are the clubs. And the club's ambition, because I think our clubs wanted to see it grow. The biggest thing in the modern in the last few years was Lauren and Kenny Bruce. And I'll be honest, and you know, Kenny and I have joked about this. You know, Kenny came in, he was a disruptor. That'll never last, that'll never work. But it did work, and it is working, and it is so impressive. And they're accelerating at a stage where I definitely think in the last 3-4 years, some of our other clubs have had to really sit up and take notice, sharpen their pencil, and get their act together. So I think that the bar was risen by Lauren, and others had to react to that. So that's what I believe has really helped us all set up and grow. And now, you know, if I was to say to someone 10 years ago, in 10 years' time, we'll have 4 full-time clubs in the Premier League, they'd have laughed us out the door. I know there's people who read this document, and they tell me it enough on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else that I'm nuts, I'm bonkers, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, I should be resigning. And they're a small minority because we get lots of encouragement. So to answer your question, the clubs really have transformed. They have woken up. They have seen the heights. They've seen the rewards a lot of European football. And I think we can never forget, as much as we want to succeed in the domestic stage, we want to succeed in the European stage. Because the better that anyone does in Europe, the better picture it is for everyone. You know, I got frustrated last year when Linfield just missed out on Europa League qualification. And, you know, supporters will always be supporters and clubs will always be clubs. And, you know, people were laughing up the sleeve. We all lost. I want this league to be up the leagues in Europe, in a ranking, a growing league. We've done work with Sports Direct this year. That has helped raise the publicity. We've brought in new sponsors. New sponsors have been attracted to it. And sponsors test us. Sponsors will push us to the limits. So it's been a multitude of things, but overall, the clubs deserve all the credit for where we sit today. We have got to create a league, and I said this in my early days, we can't stop the bigger from getting bigger, but we can't stop the smaller from getting smaller either. So people might say it's an impossible task. We have to find a balance, and we have to find a league. I mean, we look at the Premier League in England. You know, yeah, there's 2 or 3 going to win that. There's a relegation battle. That's what happens without football. But there must be a place for everyone within.
Drawing in new audiences, that's what all of this document is about. What stopped them from coming to the league over the past 5 years? What's currently putting a cap on that?
I think exposure is a big... So for me, I believe, Peter, COVID was very good for us, believe it or not. I mean, there's tens of thousands of people, as we know, leave the shores every Friday, Saturday, weekend to go to England and Scotland to watch football. During COVID, to a certain degree, we obviously got the exposure of a new BBC deal, and we got a lot of, I mean, I joke with people about, there's Barstool Irish League supporters who will criticise the likes of you and I going to the Irish League while they sit in the bar and watch the English Premiership on television, but they've never seen the product down the street. Where COVID and the coverage opened that up to people, because we all watched football. The amount of people throughout COVID that were coming and going, here, I watched that, that's all right, you know. I can see. So we got exposure, and then as we opened out the country, people started attending Irish League games, and a lot of that has stuck, and people have, you know, continued to show. So believe it or not, while COVID is not a good thing, I never want COVID to repeat, it was a good experience for the Irish League in some shape or form, because it really gave us exposure. And then, as I say, the model, the product, the players are coming into the league. I mean, we look at the players in the league now. I remember someone making a statement to me about 15 years ago, and they said, every player in this league wants out of it. And I remember the time going, how dare he say that? Well, you know, because I love this league. I have a real, always in my life, you know, people say to me, who do you support? I don't follow any other football teams. You know, I can't lie and say I spent 15 years as a chairman of Clonmel. I'm a red man. I'm very proud to be a red man. But I have to be objective in what I do now. But I support this league, and I support our clubs when they're in Europe. So the passion of this league is, for me, this is the greatest league in the world. And I genuinely, I know that's a fantasy in a way, but I believe that. I would watch this league before I watch anything else. So to go out and try and promote that to people and drive that through to people and sell that to people, I think has been will be a benefit for everyone.
But it is difficult to sell the league in its current setup. That's why you're looking to change.
Well,
you would admit, and people are saying that there's difficulties with the current season schedule. That's why you're pushing for a change here.
So just to be clear on the change, because this is, I think, we got to, you know, the message is, people read the headlines of the NFL board and Gerard Lawler, and there's an objective. What we want to do is facilitate the conversation. So a lot of our clubs, and funny, I was speaking, debating this with David Healy less than an hour ago. And a number of our clubs are saying to us, well, we're in Europe regularly. We're going into Europe. We're having two matches against a local junior team with no preparation. We feel that if we were playing when we've had 10 games behind us, we would progress a lot more. So that argument has started there. We have to look at success of Down South. And when they changed to summer football, the impact that had on the league growing, on the league getting bigger attendances, it's getting more exposure, and the players that has brought into that league, like, we are on a journey. So to use my example, everyone wanted out of this league. The players now that are coming into this league to play, and the standard is rising. So for us, we want to facilitate a conversation between our clubs to say, okay, in Northern Ireland, we're very good talking about things. And we'll talk about summer football or tweaks the season for the next 10 years. So we're now saying, okay, we're listening to you, the member clubs, who are looking to have a change in season or believe in a change of season. Let us get all the information together practically, professionally, look at all the benefits, also weighing up the negatives from the people who don't want to change and want to be the traditionalists, and let's make an informed decision on what we do. Now, again, the member clubs, only them will decide that. They will decide, is it, I know some people favour a tweak. So rather than jumping completely to March to October, is it easier to go a couple of months? What are the benefits of moving a couple of months? For me, I talk about tens of thousands of people who leave Northern Ireland monthly to go and watch football in Scotland and England. Will they follow the COVID model and watch football locally through those months? Because we're competing with the English Premiership and the Scottish Premiership every week. So if they're not playing, will we get better attendances? We then look at the likes of the European nights within the Irish League. I remember being at Dungannon for the Dungannon Anna game in May, June, and the crowd they had there on a beautiful summer's evening. So do people want to come out and watch football on a more pleasant evening? That doesn't solve the issue, because we'd still have part of the season in a winter's night. So, but will the crowds increase? How much will holiday season affect people to go away? So we're trying to explore, is there a better way and a better framework to allow the clubs to develop and grow and allow us to develop and grow? Will there be, you know, we're trying to sell our broadcasting rights against every other winter league and Scotland and England. If we're saying to broadcasters, both traditional and the new boys on the market, we have a product that we can give you as a British league for 3 months of the year when you won't have any other football, that has a big price attached to it. We then have data rights. We're caught up in a complete data market. If we have those rights, again, to say, we have rights to sell for 3 months when you don't have as much football. And we go to like things like Live Score or Score Apps, when you open it up in May or June when, and you're looking at the Japan League as the top league. You know, if that's the Irish League and that's NIFL, well, what's the value of that? These are all the positives, but there's lots of negatives, and all we want to do is explore it.
So to explore that and to put that talk into action, are we, what, 18 months away from our referendum moment? When will this come to a head where a decision will be made?
We'll need at least one, if not two, transition periods. I can't really. We didn't want to go in to say, here's one fit model.
But what's it going to look like? You know, what's it going to look like? How are we going to decide this?
We're going to start in the next 6 months sitting down, talking to broadcasters, players, managers, clubs, having those discussions. From the discussions I've had out of our Premier League, 7 out of the 12, I think, would be in favour of a change in some form.
And if they were to vote...
But then, you see, it's difficult because then I'll talk to different people at the club. And we have examples at the weekend, as an example. And I've seen a load of managers coming out at the weekend and giving their opinions. And their opinions are respected. I've had different conversations with their clubs, both ways. So we, you know, as for NIFL, the club is the member of NIFL. So I've been to a club. I've sat with a couple of clubs, in some cases, with a number of directors, said, here's our idea. They're saying, we're fully endorsed this. We're fully behind it. We want a change in season. This is what we want. And then you wake up on Sunday morning to read the back page of Sunday Life for their manager. And it wasn't just one. It was a number of managers have a completely different opinion. We have people on our board who have designed the document and driven the document forward. And the manager doesn't want a change in season according to Sunday Life and Sunday morning. So we now have to balance all that up, get the opinion. That's the Premier League. We have to talk to the Championship. We have to talk to the PIL. What impact would it have in the women's season? I don't think that would be a major impact in the women, because we are actually the only league in Europe who play their women's campaign at a different time to their men. So I think they can work together. But the Irish FA are also doing a pyramid review at the moment. So they're looking at a review of the pyramid of football in Northern Ireland. We have got to see the results of that. What does that look like? How does NIFL fit into that? Does the intermediate game fit into that? I would even go further, Peter. I mean, like, I look at Scotland. If I take Scotland and the Republic of Ireland, which are probably our two biggest models, down south have 2 towns. They have a much bigger population than us. I think, I don't know, over 1 million, maybe more, but they only have 2 towns. I look at Scotland and they have a 12 and then 2 towns. We have 3 12s. Are we diluting the quality? Do we have enough in the quality? Are we doing those clubs and PIL justice? Is there a different way of organisation that, you know, is 3 12s the way forward? And this is a complete blank canvas that we want to sit down and explore, turn up everything upside down, inside out, and then I think we will get the answers at that stage or the best workable model. Peter, if we sit here in 3 years' time and say, we have did all this work, we have analysed it inside out, we have turned it upside down, and you know what? What we have is the best of what there is out there. Well, at least we can say in 3 years' time, we believe, we have can prove, and anyone that wants to have a summer league, well, we looked at it, we took it seriously, we did all the research on it, it's not best for us. And that's ultimately what we want to achieve.
But if we were to get to that vote, because you're talking there about potentially 7 in the top league, will a Limavady or an Ocbreda have exactly the same voting power as a Linfield? Or is this a...
At this moment in time, yes. So NIFL is 49 shares, there's 50 shares. The Irish FA have won. And the clubs all have an equal share after that.
And would 26 get you there?
We don't even have a regulation for it at this stage. Should it be 75%? Is it 50%? These are all the things that we need to sit down and discuss. Now, for me, the journey's exciting. But I think people getting carried away. I had a message from my own son today saying, don't you dare change Boxing Day. You know, Boxing Day is so traditional. Could I guess an Irish League's Boxing Day and not going to a football match? No, I can't. So I'm not, don't want to be totally, but we just want to explore. We don't want to leave any stone unturned, and we don't want to leave any question unanswered. And if we asked all the questions, as I keep saying, and we get the answers where we are currently, fine, we change nothing. I have messages today, people saying to me, I love your plans. What about an All-Ireland Cup competition? Well, if the two seasons aligned, that's maybe something we could look at. But at the moment, it's impractical to do because we play two different seasons. So how many more opportunities does this open up for us? And that's all we want to do, Peter. I don't believe there's anything in this document for anyone to fear. So you're saying, do Knockbreda, do Limavady have the same vote as Linfield? Yes, they do at this moment in time. They have exactly the same vote and they all are equal members. And I have to protect Knockbreda and Limavady as much as I protect Lorne and Linfield.
You talk about the pyramid. You've also used this analogy of the train is leaving and people might be left at the station. Are we moving closer where you want to professionalise this league more, create higher standards? Are we moving towards a situation where you're asking more of clubs lower down in the pyramid? Or if you don't meet a certain criteria, you won't be able to move up the leagues anymore and potentially not be a part of NIFL?
Well, all the leagues have licences as it is. Everyone does. But the criteria is always rising and rising and rising. So for me, is that something could happen? Yes is the answer. It could happen. But I have the responsibility to those clubs to take them on this journey. Some of the clubs, and the point I'm trying to make earlier is, if, say, 70-80% of our clubs want to go on this higher journey and they want to go on this train, and there is 20% of our clubs who think, we're not on that train, we're going to get on a train to a different place. Well, I also have a responsibility to take those people to that different train and deliver that. So this is a mammoth piece of work, Peter. And look, earlier a question I didn't answer, you says, how do I feel? This is terrifying. This is not, I mean, there's excitement, there's just so much fear that we're saying, I'm now going to be held accountable. This organisation is going to be held accountable in 5 years' time to say, you said you were going to do A, B, C, D, and E. Have you did it? There's 22 objectives. I would like to look, as much as the big hitters, we're saying we want to help clubs. We know clubs are suffering with recruiting volunteers, with administration. We want, along with the RHFA, and the RHFA have been great partners. And I know, like any family, I spent most of my time fighting with the RHFA. Believe it or not, on a staff level, we have a great relationship. But I want what's best for our clubs. And I'm not necessarily fighting with them. I want the senior game and the clubs within NIFL to get the same treatment as other elements of the game in Northern Ireland. So I will always fight for the senior game. And equally to me, there's some people from the junior game and the intermediate game that want what's best for the junior game and they think the senior game gets too much and the IFA should be given so more money and more resource to the amateur game. So we all have to find, a little bit like society, a Northern Ireland football family where we're all in this together and we do what's best. And that's where I think we all soul search. And do people, is it fair to go on the journey and raise the bar for some and leave others behind? But then is it equally wrong for some to say, I'm going to hold the others behind because I don't have the ambition or I don't want to go there? We've looked at many models of this. I mean, I had a conversation with the Orcombe League this week and they were saying, look, they felt they lacked ambition. They probably came in, raised the bar, here's what's happening, this is where you're going, and the clubs all had to jump. We have not taken that model. We want the clubs to have destiny of their own future. I've always been a believer in that since I was involved in a club. The clubs must decide their future, but we must give them the facts and the figures and the opportunities, what the promised land looked like for some.
If a change in summer season, a summer schedule is on the table, is perhaps the idea that Saturday at 3 p.m. also on the table? I was talking to Stephen Crawford on the podcast this week about the idea that if the Premier League gets rid of this blackout at 3 p.m, it could be the death bell really for 3 p.m. here. Could you see the league move towards a Friday night league? Is that something that's being talked about?
I don't think, and I would never like to see it all just a total Friday night, because let's be honest, Premier League are now playing on Friday nights also. And again, I joked with someone on this yesterday. I mean, there was three Artricity League games last night and a Monday night in Dublin. There wasn't, that's just naturally, that's just what happens now. You know, we went head to head with the English Premiership on Sky ourselves last Monday night. I believe for the you know, it's a League Cup final for the first time. So the one thing I've learned in this role, and I never realised it before, how much people don't like change in Northern Ireland. And that doesn't make it right or wrong. We all seem to have this comfort zone in Northern Ireland. And I think we're worse than other, maybe some other countries, that we just don't like change. We're set in our own ways and we want it. The 3 o'clock market for football in Northern Ireland is saturated. And we have clubs that say we just want to play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. We have clubs like Lorne who say they could get up to maybe 25-30% extra playing on a Friday night, and they're not competing with other activities on the town on a Saturday afternoon. So they play on a Friday night and they think their gates are up somewhere between 30%.
Junior football is the big competitor, really.
Of course it is. And that's where we're competing. We are also competing with the junior football, the junior game, but not just the players. I mean, we sit here on a Friday off, probably every week, Peter, from around a Thursday morning to almost to about 2 o'clock most Saturdays, fighting for referees and begging people to referee games, to get games played. There's a massive shortage of referees in Northern Ireland. There is a shortage of volunteers in football in Northern Ireland. You'll know, you know, much more educated in the media than I am, there's only so much column inches that we can fill on a Sunday morning. So I think it's only logic that we sit to spread all this out now and go, well, if we have some games, I don't want to break your show, of on a Thursday night, on a Friday night, where does Saturday fit in? Is there an early? Is there a later? Where are Sundays? So how do we have this weekend of football? In an ideal world, I would like to see games on a Thursday as a backup plan, some Friday, Saturday split over different periods of the day, including 3 o'clock. In an ideal world, Peter, let's be very clear, I would love us to be able to play at 3 o'clock every Saturday afternoon. And we had all our NFL games at 3 o'clock. But the clubs are telling me that's not what they want in some cases, and they want to explore other opportunities. You know, the NFL board, and not Gerard Lawler, the NFL board, with the support of Gerard Lawler, I'm not going to run away with it, had an article change last year at the IHFA for a change to Sunday football. That, again, was at the request of some of our member clubs who wanted to go and explore those opportunities. So that's, we will always react to what the clubs want they asked us to do and where the clubs want to go. If we look at, again, and I'm only using another example because, like, we just don't sit in this office and make it up.
Was that defeat frustrating for you? Because it was quite heavy, and some people suggest, I think you got a lot of backing from the fans online for that. And a lot of people would have suggested that it might have been junior clubs who voted a majority against that motion. Do you feel frustrated when you have these clubs who are trying to create revenues, trying to deal with top-end stuff like going into Europe, and that there are clubs at the bottom of the pyramid who don't have that same pressure, that are having a big role in denying them their ability to have autonomy over how they run their game?
I respect everyone's opinion. Is there a frustration at times? Yes, there is a frustration at times, Peter. But that's what a democracy is, and that's the way, unfortunately, football in Northern Ireland. But some of our own Premier League clubs weren't in favour of that either, yes, Peter. And I have to acknowledge that. And that's why I like to sit here and think, I have a belief in what I think's right. But let me be honest with you, Peter. I don't sit here and think I have all the answers. I need help with an awful lot of the answers of it in this document. I need support from the board, the fans, the clubs, most importantly. What I think there's a breakage in the system. There's definitely a breakage in the system from, and I have to be big enough and honest enough to say, between us and the clubs and communicating, us and the fans communicating. I think there, in some clubs, majority, there can be a breakdown between the fans and the club. There can be a breakdown between players in the club, managers in the club, and we have found, so all, you know, only now that if we can have such a widespread conversation that involves all elements of the game to try and get the answers to where we are. But I think any walk of life, to answer your question, there's a frustration. You know, the example I was going to give you, I mean, I spoke to a guy in the Dutch League, and he's telling me that they introduced an 8 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday night a number of years ago, and they basically, there was riots in almost, and a disbelief and a real clubs did not want this. It is now the biggest attended and most popular kickoff time and attended game on the whole league is the game at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, and everyone wants to be part of it now. And that's just where, and as I say, if we must sell the benefits, I have to believe in some of the benefits myself. This is an exploration journey for us all. It's a journey for me. And will there be will this need tweaked? Will there be mistakes along the way? Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're a group of staff, a group of people and a board who are doing their best to try and find the right answers. We don't profess to have them all, but we try to find them. We'd speak to partners. We'll speak to other leagues who've been on this journey, other associations. I mean, we have been involved. I've been speaking to the Premier League in England about what help and support they can give us. We'll speak down south to the journey that they went on, speak to other sports that have came away and have changed, and we'll try to get the benefit of all those things to come up with something at the end.
I appreciate this isn't in this document. You said you're looking forward and changing. A big word in this document is accountability.
Yeah.
And when things are changing, you bring up the Dutch League there, and recently they have voted to walk back from artificial surfaces. Now, they have different reasons for that. But when you look forward to the league in the next 10 years, we're seeing a lot more 3G pitches being funded, being put down. When you look at that and you see that the EU is potentially going to ban the rubber crumb fill that's in there, what do you think the future is for 3G pitches? Could they soon become a white elephant? Do we need to return to grass for environmental reasons, for example?
If that's approved and we have that evidence and UEFA make those decisions, yes, of course we do. Again, look, we would all love to play in grass pitches that are like carpets and that are like Premier League. We don't have, and this will lead me on, the facilities. I don't know if you're going there or not, but this comes back to again, facilities, the country, the skill set that we have throughout it. I mean, I don't think there's any footballer would rather play in 3G than grass. But when we looked at some of the grass pitches we had, and again, the resources clubs had, 3G was a simple solution. 3G has allowed clubs to grow on a community basis. 3G has allowed clubs to really get in and explore their community and make those communities become hubs and allow them to be hubs of those communities. So there's benefits. But coming back to football, would we all prefer to play football on perfect grass pitches like Wembley every afternoon at 3 o'clock on a Saturday? Yes, we would. But we have to be practical in life, and we have to use the tools that we have at our disposal. But look, if the EU and Europe, obviously UEFA,
I do appreciate it. I just threw that at you.
No, that's fine, but you're right.
It's an environmental issue that potentially is coming down the line, and that's obviously the things that you're looking at. You have this ambitious goal to get 3.5 million eyes on the league. Are we close to that? And what are the ways that you think could do that?
We're a million short at this moment in time.
Well, could one way of be doing that? We keep comparing ourselves to the League of Ireland.
Yeah.
They have this League of Ireland TV. It's an on-demand streaming service. I know that takes a huge amount of investment and a huge amount of infrastructure. But I know on this podcast, loads of fans will be asking me, is this where we're going to go? Is that a pipe dream, or could that be in the next document?
No, this is it's in this document. You know, when you look at the engagement piece of the document, you know, we want to transform from being a rights holder, and that's our current position as we are, to a content and media manager. We want to create Niffl TV. I would like to see every Premier League and Championship game on a streaming platform going forward, not just Premier League. We have to remember now Championship, PIL. So for me, we want to grow the product. I mean, someone said to me today, and you kick yourself, just someone outside the country's going, I watched the Niffl highlights, the videos are fantastic, I watched the goals on YouTube, could you not put a bit of commentary over it? It would make it so much more professional and make it so much better. I'm going, why have we never did that?
Well, it takes money, it takes investment, it takes revenue, which you talk about
but
here.
But it does, Peter, and it doesn't, because, I mean, you know, we've enough around this country, we've enough nice voices around this office to go, could you commentate on Danny Perkis' goal at the weekend? And look how, you know, Michael Clark would pay me money, I think, to do it at that stage. But you know, so it's always someone else putting ideas into your head, you think. Yeah, but yes, do we want, if there was a change of season, I think that will give us an awful lot of more eyeballs, because as I've said previously, we don't have the people, we don't have the competitors. To come back to your point, yes, do we see in the future the current television model? The world of television is changing. You know, when we're looking at international matches, Northern Ireland, they're all going behind paywalls, they're all going on the streaming services. That's where we're going to end up. Now, hopefully, as much as that's a negative for the normal fan who we turn on BBC One or BBC Two, we also want to see that game grow, and we believe the world is changing with television. But if that technology can make it much easier for us to transmit and show those games on streaming platforms, of course we're going to do more of them and start to produce our own product.
Big props to Jared and the whole NIFL team. It was very nice of them to get back and say, hey, come in, ask your questions. I thought Jared gave me plenty of time to chat through it all, and hopefully as a listener there's some things, some little queries that you had in the back of your head that you hopefully have got some form of answer, or at least have a general idea, okay, this is what they're trying to achieve, or at least this is the direction of travel they are on. If you're new here, hello, thank you very much for giving this a go. If you liked a bit of this, and maybe you were like, I would actually like to hear about what him and other contributors think about the games that are happening week to week, you are in luck, as that is pretty much the bread and butter of this podcast. Stick around this week as I'll be bringing you your regularly scheduled podcast talking about all the games that happened this past weekend and what a cracking weekend it was. But if you can't just wait for that right now, you can of course go back to last week's episode where we looked into a lot of the stuff that we talked about when it came to this strategy plan with Stephen Crawford. You can also go even further back where you can listen to the podcast, which look back at the whole time that Gary Hamilton was in charge of Glenavon, and you can even go further back to previews for the season and all the rest. So if you really like what you heard and you want to follow me online, it's a great place to do it. You can follow this podcast on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. It's at Kicking Match for all of them. You want to get in touch, send me a message, some love mail, some hate mail, you can do that. It's kickingmatch@gmail.com. And if perhaps you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can do that on a variety of platforms. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, and you can also do that on Spotify as well. There's hundreds of you there that follow this podcast, so just hit the wee button and you'll be able to get a notification as soon as a brand new one of these podcasts drop in your feed. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, cheers.